That's right, the drive is live, and yes, today the Texans will be heavily involved on day two. They've got right now three picks, two in the second and one in the third, and we will keep you updated up on all of that. There is Tyler Milner. If you could see him, you can still see us on YouTube and Twitch. We're out here live, right here in front of the convention center, Clint. They look like they've got it set up early. Looks like this is going to be a nice little party spot here. I see a lot of potential rolling around here. I see big drink potentials rolling around here.
What kind of potential are you talking about? Are we still talking about the bars and the setup, just the games, the radio?
The potential to have a good time, like a real Tyler Milner type potential.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I mean, I don't know what's gotten into Cal and Hannah. I have no idea what's gotten into them, but the Tuesday night event was off the charts. It was over the top. In a beautiful way.
Why not?
And then today is just set up absolutely. Right now, I don't know what's going to happen, but it is set up right now beautifully, man. I mean, you got games
that
along
big
the
Nick
side.
Energy.
Yeah, there you go, Hannah. Tell me about it.
Looks like a team expecting to win.
Yeah. Looks like a team that's going to do things in championship fashion and see if they can't make one happen. So plenty of good times to be had out here. They're doing it right. It's right now, slightly overcast day, obviously. If it stays overcast, a little cloudy here, keep that sun from beating down on folks, it'll be a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I like the little breeze we're getting here. It's nice. It's nice.
And Ron, I'll be honest with you. It could not have – not that the Texans right now need any added juice for folks to get amped up about what's going on, but the first round of the NFL draft in 2024 last night, there's a lot of takeaways from that particular draft, but it could not have set up any better for the Houston Texans.
Now, hold on. I want to get to that in just a second, but Tyler, you know, it's not hard for me to do. We got to do this. We got to give this man his flowers.
Who?
We got to give Clint Sterner his flowers.
What kind of flowers do you like, bud?
This is tulips. This is – Clint seems like a tulips fella.
I feel that,
tulips.
Too.
I do like tulips now.
There you go.
Nice.
He came right
off. I do.
Quick,
look,
off
I spent,
his feet,
I spent some time in Amsterdam, and they have tulips everywhere, man.
Yeah, but we got
– I grew kind of fond of them over here.
We got to give him his flowers. This is 2 years in a row. And Clint, the real impressive things, I got no problems giving you your flowers. The real impressive thing is, this isn't Clint coming from a space of he's talking to a bunch of scouts and teams. Clint literally just goes off what he sees, what he watches, and what he, I guess, knows about the kids and what he's learned over the time, even just from afar. And last year, I mean, he was on. I mean, he held on to everything he believed in. That man, Will Levis ain't going that first round. He put $100 on it. He ain't going in that first round. And then we started seeing coming closer and closer to it, where he was being talked about betting odds as being the number two pick with C.J. Stroud. He was moving up, and Clint. I think I even allowed Clint to get out of that $100 bet. He said, "No, I'm gonna stay here." And last year, Will Levis, that first round came and went, and his ass was in the second round. And this year, Clint said, I think there might be a chance all six of these jokers go in the first round, these quarterbacks. And he is hell-bent on there is no way teams are going to look at Michael Penix Jr. and think that he is better, that J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix should go ahead of him. And now we sit here at the eighth pick of the draft, Tyler, and Michael Penix Jr. not only gets drafted, but he goes to a team that's already given another quarterback $100 million guaranteed in the offseason. I got to give you your flowers on that, man. That like
Are we
one year's
give you flowers for sure.
All right. That maybe you got lucky. Now this is 2 years in a row. Stick it to your guns. I don't know many people who had Penix Jr. being the fourth quarterback. Let alone, most people had him going behind J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, so I'll give you credit on that.
I appreciate that, Ron.
That's 2 years in a row.
I appreciate that, C.J. Y'all giving me my flowers.
God bless, brother.
You betcha. God bless you too, C.J. There's certain things, and Michael Penix Jr. can spin it better I mean, if we're in a competition,
that's not what people were saying. Like comparative to these other guys, like what happened?
You got a bunch of parakeets, man.
What happened was
parakeets or parrots or both?
Parrots are the ones
that talk, right? Or does the parakeet talk too? Nonetheless, the parrot just repeats.
Parrot repeats. Yeah.
Just repeat, boy. Everything you hear. And when I see something like Michael Penix, that ball comes off his hand, and then on top of that, you hear Andre Ware, who has called as many, if not more, football games than anybody in the damn business over the last college and NFL.
I mean,
you think about it, Ron. He's been doing Thursdays and Saturdays and Sundays. I mean, he's calling a bunch of games, bro. And he's been doing it before ESPN started making all their cuts, and now they're forcing guys to call multiple games. He was doing it before. He was making that money. He's seen as many quarterbacks as anybody in the game, and the minute he laid eyes on, I remember like it was yesterday, it was a year ago, yeah, it was last year, about this time, right before the draft last year. I remember him saying, hey, I ain't never seen the ball come off a quarterback's hand the way it comes off Michael. When a guy like that says it, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking I've never seen, but damn, that's hot. And then Dre says something like that. I'm like, there's no way there's 32 scouting departments out there that look at Michael Penix and don't go.
I believed it, but you just kept seeing the trend of where people were going, and it seemed like certain teams believed it. And
well, it ended up, to your point earlier, it ended up crazier than I thought. The fact that it wasn't just
– hell, I thought Spencer Rattler might sneak in that bad boy.
Look, Ron, I thought he was going to fall – I thought he was going to fall into the late first. Like I thought if he did, I thought he was going to be the steal of the draft.
You talking about Michael?
Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. fell into the bottom third and went to a team that had a quarterback, an older, aging quarterback, that he was their future. I thought, this guy's going to be the steal of the draft. I mean, then you look, or even if he'd have slid into the second, one of these teams that did, the New York Giants that didn't get their quarterback early, then they get him in the second. I'm thinking, this guy's going to be the steal. No doubt about it. Well, he ends up going to a team, to your point, that just signed Kirk Cousins to a $200 million deal. $90 million of that is guaranteed. And they said, nah, we can't pass on this old boy. So it ended up being a little bit more.
Especially the team that selected him.
Yeah, they didn't need
him. That was crazy.
They didn't need him for the next two, if not four, yeah. If not 4 years. So, that was good to see. And the crazy thing is, that happening led to six quarterbacks then going in the first round, which led to,
which is helping the Texans.
It's helping the Texans. I think there's several teams that are guys that are sliding down the draft board because you had six quarterbacks, and I think, what was it, 13 straight offensive players or 14 straight offensive players?
14
straight offensive players. Like, to me, that all falls into the favor of the Houston Texans and what we're going to see today.
Let's jump into that right now, right? As the draft comes to day two, and the Texans have two picks in the second round coming up. As you said, man, this thing fell together. When you just think about some of the positions that you have kind of connected with the Texans, I think the top two positions of need that I've seen listed with the Texans is cornerback and defensive tackle. And the second guy on the board at D-tackle is still there, and Johnny Newton out of Illinois. And then there are a host of corners that are still there in that range. None of the linebackers went either, which is another space. I know you are not really with this, but the receivers, there are still guys there if you want to go that route, safety. So there's a lot there to be had for the Texans. And I think, to me, I don't think this is understating it, Clint. When I look at what they have today in front of them, when you think about the ammo that they have, they got two twos, and they got a third and two fours, right? They've got ammo to either help, obviously stay where they are and pick at 42 and 59, or they have ammo to say, all right, we want to go up earlier in this round to get, you know, the guy that we really covet and want. And to me, man, it really looks like they've got a chance to get real serious day one contributors, not guys that are going to be projects that you hope maybe towards the end, but day one contributors, that guys that can help immediately. So that is set up very, very well for the Texans.
Yeah, and at multiple positions. And I think what I was afraid of with the Texans selecting early in the second was that you were going to be put in a position where your draft pick was going to be a guy that, as we've mentioned multiple times, was going to be a rotational player at best. But I'm looking at Big Newton, the kid out of Illinois, the defensive tackle. Ron, I love the Braden Fisk guy out of Florida State. Both guys that you that obviously would be part of a big-time rotation, but I think you would expect to bring something to the table that, that the Texans don't currently have in-house. You mentioned all the cornerbacks that are out there. There's three or four corners out there.
Kool-Aid McKinstry is still out there. Max Melton is still out there. Cooper DeJean is still out there.
The Rakestraw kid out of Missouri is ranked up there. And then those inside linebackers, the Cooper kid out of A&M is still out there. What's my man? There's Colson out of Michigan, and the kid Peyton Wilson, everybody's in love with, out of NC State. I mean, there are at this point in time, and I know the Texans. What are they going to get? They're 10 picks in here. Even if they sit steady at 43, I think there's still going to be guys available, multiple guys available that are better than we discussed yesterday. I think there are guys that could potentially be plug and play starters immediately. Maybe not starters that play 70% of the snaps, but definitely plug and play starters sooner rather than later.
Is there anybody in particular that you're coveting for them to go get? Johnny Newton is the one for me. Like that's the guy. I don't think Buffalo is going to go there. We'll see what happens with what happens in front of them. But Newton to me is the one. There's only one D tackle off the board right now, and that is Byron Murphy. But Newton is the guy for me that I'm like, God, find a way to go, if you can, to go and get him. That would be a guy that I would be like, all right, if you want to go and reach to go and move from 42 to maybe, 35, 36 or whatever, to go get that D tackle, that to me, because he is clearly somebody we discussed yesterday. I don't, like, he's not coming in and just right away to me starting and being your best D tackle or something. But he is somebody most definitely you could see in the second half of the year, starting to rise over the other journeyman guys that you have there, and he could be one of your guys. And now you got somebody right there for the future. That is somebody that I would really hope they maybe take a look at going to go get.
I agree with you with Newton. That would be my pick at defensive tackle. And if you can't get him, then the Fisk kid I would take and get real excited about it. He's got some
the kid from Florida State.
Yeah,
like
he's got some. He's a big dude with twitch, man. I mean, he's got some serious twitch. But I'm gonna tell you, we've tongue in cheek played a lot about this Cooper DeJean kid. I like, of course, covering having the only white corner in the NFL would be fun as hell. But what I really like about this kid right now, Ron, is that he's got experience playing outside corner at a first-round level. He's got experience playing the slot at a first-round level, and he can also play safety. You want to talk about a guy, I like Des King in the slot, but if you got a second-round pick, a first-round talent in the second round of a draft, then this kid should push Des King immediately out of the gate. If you want to play him outside, he should absolutely be in the thick of a competition with C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okudah, without a doubt.
And just versatility, right?
And the safety. We've talked a lot about the safety position here. If this kid can play safety and you have the ability to close the middle of the field and he's got he supposedly plays with great instincts. I mean, we know D'Amico likes that. This is a guy to me that you look at and you go, okay, he's not just a corner. And now you've got a moving piece that if CJ or Jeff Okudah works out, now Des King works out. Okay, now Jimmy Ward works out and Petrie comes back and plays. Like, you got a guy that, boy, you could really plug and play him in multiple places and he'd be an impact player immediately.
The name that I've heard him compared to is L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed,
who April 25th, 2024, don't get much better than that kid, does it?
Who played in the slot before last year, who was a slot guy that they blitzed a lot, that wasn't afraid of contact, that could play enough up against up near the line of scrimmage because he could tackle but could cover too. That's what you've heard, the versatility action from that cat. So they got a shot, man, to get a player that can help them immediately, right? They should come away with that. Almost any route they go, they should be able to find a player that helps them at some point. By the way, real quick, I know you was watching in that first round. I know Tyler was watching that first round. I know the people out there were watching that first round. Was there at any point as that thing was starting to roll through towards the 20s, Was there any point where you were like, God, Nick, come on and get in, get back in here? Was there a player? Was there anybody that was falling? Anybody out there? Was there anybody that was falling where you were like, oh, Nick, get in there? Nick, I know you was over there getting antsy around 19.
I
know you saw your guy fell all the way to 19.
Well, you get antsy when the Bills are moving, the Cowboys are moving, and you see all that action, and you're like, okay, wait, is Nick involved in this, or the Texans going to be involved in this? I'll be honest, though. There wasn't a player, though, that got down. And once you got down to where I think the Texans would be willing to try to bump up to, that I really got turned up. But as you know, look, I'm not a believer that the Texans should even be flirting with wide receiver at this point in time. And it seems like all those moves late in the draft were too for people moving up to take wide receivers in Worthy and what's the kid from Pearsall, the kid from Florida.
Pearsall for me is the kid from LSU.
Yeah, who
Jacksonville ended up getting. He starts sliding because they drafted him in the spot in which the Texans were at 23 because they traded with Minnesota to get him back. They got back up there to get Brian Thomas Jr. When I saw him, I know you're not big on the receivers, but when I saw him dropping to 23, I'm like, boy, man, you might want to think about that. But I thought I saw Jared Verse kind of dropping. I seen 17, 18. I'm like, I bet Clint's over there thinking, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick. Don't you slide back in there and pick him up.
I really like him, man. God, I really like him.
I know
him.
You. I was like.
I could see him opposite Will. But, I mean, look, they just spent a bunch of money. And he is a defensive end, an edge guy that can move inside and play big inside. But, obviously, you'd have to rotate him. Really, what got me, the Jared Verse thing, I personally like him. But then all of a sudden, I see where D'Amico and Nick are obviously – going to use Autry, you know, in that inside out fashion. And I'm thinking, damn, it'd be nice to have one of these youngsters in that inside out fashion right there. But
so have another one up,
you know. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just really liked him as a player. So we'll see if he can fill the monster shoes of Aaron Donald in L.A.
Gus and Katie said, I watched round one to pick 23, and at that point, I felt pretty comfortable with the players that were going to be available for day two. Gus in Katie. Yeah, as we sit here right now, like, yeah, they, as we sit here to start things, they should be able to pick up not one, but multiple players that can help them in some form or fashion immediately.
Yeah.
Next year. Immediately.
I'd like to see if need be, we'll see how this thing unfolds early in this draft. But if need be, I mean, I think Nick's got the ability to take one of those twos and one of those fours and advance his position in terms of moving up, whether you move up from 43 or you move up from, what's the second one, 59, or you move up from there. Either way it goes, to improve that draft slot, that second, fourth-round pick could be instrumental there in terms of them moving up a couple of spots to get the right guy. So we'll see how Nick continues to work these multiple picks and packaging them to move up a couple spots and maybe not move up into another round, obviously, but definitely move up into a better position with these. Because I bet you there's 20 players right now that you got to think are in whatever tier they're in this NFL draft right now. You got to think that Nick and D'Amico are going, hey, we got 20 players in this tier. Can we move from 59 up to get two of these guys instead of just one?
All right, as we're live here covering the day two of the draft in which the Texans have two picks in the second round, we will be here live right here downtown, right in front of the convention center. We're set up, and this is going to be a big party tonight here for the Texans to see who will be the newest members of the Houston Texans. We'll continue rolling here on The Drive. Coming up, we have got to go in on the shock of the draft. Give me the one word to describe what the Atlanta Falcons did with the shock of the draft by drafting Michael Penix Jr. We'll discuss that coming up next.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Texans Draft Party outside George R. Brown Convention Center. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, welcome back in as The Drive is live and we're downtown. At the early stages of the draft party, which should be a really, really big night for the McNair family and all Texans fans out here. So in about, what, 3 hours, this place is going to be crazy.
Be jumping. I bet it's sooner than that. It's Friday, baby.
You're right.
The clouds are keeping the sun away a little bit.
It feels good out
here,
man.
Yeah, I bet you about 4 o'clock, boy, this traffic picks up big time.
Yeah, huh? It'll be a good time out here, man. It's going to be a live time out here as the Texans have 2 on the board here. I said this on the other side here. Give me one word. You can text in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. One word to describe. Multiple people are going with multiple words. But one word to describe the decision, the move, the shock of the draft. And it feels like this has been a shock of the draft for a couple years. And that is the Atlanta Falcons, who in the offseason made the big move to get the top quarterback in free agency in Kirk Cousins and gave him, I think, 100 guaranteed, 180, 100, 90 to 100 of it guaranteed for a 4-year deal. And they at 8, who most people had them getting a defensive player, they go and draft Michael Penix Jr. at number 8. They bring him in. They've since said he is our future. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback right now. And most people were floored by this decision. One word described. One person texted in Vegas. Another person said asinine, outrageous, dumpster fire, if I could get that as one word.
Dumbfounding.
Smart.
Dumbfounding, dude.
You were dumbfounded right there from Tyler Milner, who was on the coverage last night. Stupid from the text line. What's your word? Clint, what did you feel about that crazy move?
Smart.
You got smart. Someone just texted in genius.
Yeah. Look, I mean, here's the deal. If you look at the contract of Kirk Cousins, they're committed for 2 years. Ultimately, 2 years, and it's a $90 million guarantee, and they're committed for 2 years at the end of the day. Any way you slice it. And so drafting a quarterback when – you're not sure that the team that you're putting together right now is ever going to put you in a position to where you're going to be able to draft that high again over the next handful of years anyway, I think is smart, especially when a guy like that falls right in your lap at the fourth number 4 quarterback in this year's draft. I think it's smart. Their quarterback room, you really don't have any guarantee that Kirk Cousins is going to stay healthy.
Coming off the Achilles, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I said this every year, man. I don't think – it's hard for people to wrap their head around because we were spoiled here with what C.J. Stroud just did. Quarterbacks aren't ready to play at this level when they're drafted. I don't care how good they are in college. We just watched an exception to that rule. We watched arguably the biggest, most impressive exception to that rule in C.J. Stroud. I just think overall guys aren't ready. They need time. They need – some kind of mentor. They need time to make mistakes and become a pro and mature and learn everybody. And I think it's smart as hell, man, to address that particular situation. Their quarterback room is set for the next 5 years, regardless of what happens.
From YouTube and Twitch, Corey Miller, strange. C. Mallory, a frequent messenger on YouTube and Twitch, said, huh? That was his word, was huh? Mine was understanding. Understandable, excuse me, not understanding. Understandable. Listen, I don't know if it's going to work. And, yes, I think his name's Jerry Fontenot, the general manager. His job will probably be on the line with this decision. But I understand it from the standpoint of, dude, I just put it in your mind. If you are – you know, Raheem Morris, Fontenot, the guys that run this thing, and you worked out Michael Penix Jr., and you're just doing your due diligence, right? You're doing what you do. You got a top 10 pick. You got this guy. You go and work him out. And just imagine if you got the same vibes and feels that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio got last year when they worked out C.J. Stroud. If you, because that's what have to be, right? Like, you can pass up potentially on guys that could be potential all-pro corners that have the potential to be all-pro defensive ends. You can't pass up on somebody that you think or feel may be special at quarterback. And damn sure you don't walk past it because Kirk Cousins is on your team at 35 years old. Nothing against Kirk Cousins, but there's obviously a ceiling right there. If they sat there and fell in love with Michael Penix Jr., and the reports we hear was they worked him out on a day when it was outside and it was 50 degrees and it was windy all over the place, and they said they had multiple people who worked close with Matthew Stafford in Detroit, and they were like, Matthew Stafford's only – person I've seen be able to cut through wind like this and get the ball and spin the ball and still cut through stuff like that. Like, they were so impressed. You, to me, that position, like, you a fool if you don't. Like, I mean, just like Alex Smith wasn't going to stop the Chiefs for drafting Patrick Mahomes when they felt he was special. Now, they didn't just sign a deal with him, but they still had years of money for him. And Kirk Cousins wouldn't stop. If you think this dude is C.J. Stroud-like, if you think this dude is Joe Burrow-like, Patrick Mahomes-like, you got, I mean, you got to. It makes sense to me. Now, if he ain't, your ass is gone. But I mean, that it, I understood what their thinking was.
Well, we're just living in a world where, you know, these guys are drafted early like this, and they're expected to immediately play. Which to me, that is more reckless than drafting a guy with a top 10 pick and then and ensuring that he's going to sit for a year or two and developing and maturing him and taking that route.
Yeah, they said they're looking at the Justin Love route or the Jordan Love route. Excuse me.
Worked out really good for them, didn't it? I mean, it's I know it's rare, and at first glance, it's like, what the hell are they doing? They need edge help. But think about it. This is a defensive-minded head coach. This is a defensive-minded head coach that's fully aware that they need edge help. They're fully aware of what Booger McFarland is harping on, is that they need help at getting to the quarterback defensively. And that defensive minded coach said, okay, no problem, let's go get that quarterback. So I don't
because
have a problem.
Quarterback
with that. I think it's smart
the
as
the quarterback
hell.
if you believe he is that guy, I mean it, edge helps. Who the hell cares?
Right.
It fixes all that. Edge help, it fixes all that. So right. I completely understand where they came from. Someone texted in, Ron, you pay Cousins $100 million, but you're not getting him any help. Just stupid. Listen, they weren't. First off, they were going to. If you mean help, like overall with the team, I guess I get that. If you mean offensively, like I mean, the thought was they're going to go defense, right? They feel like they got a pretty good crew on offense, and I'm sure they'll add to it today as well. But dude, man, there is nothing more important. There is only a handful of teams, in my opinion, Clint, that shouldn't be looking for special at that position.
Yeah.
Like even teams that you think are competing that shouldn't be looking for special at that position. So I can understand it. Now, they may all get fired. I can completely understand it. All right. All right, this is now three people within that are connected with the Houston Texans are in – the Houston Texans organization, and one of them being extremely important that makes me think that they're going to go in a certain direction that I don't think Clint's going to like. I've heard three different comments now, and now I'm pretty sold that they might go in this direction today in the draft. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Texans draft party outside George R. Brown Convention Center. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
With the 89th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Nico Collins, wide receiver, Michigan.
All right, that is one of the best picks for Nick Caserio. Nico Collins who really shined last year, and I'm telling you, Clint, I know because of the year Nico had and Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, who they were able to get big returns out of the draft from last year. That's a position that you don't want to see get touched yet. You have been steadfast on that.
They ain't got no business. They ain't got no business.
You're gonna be hot Monday if it happens. And listen, Clint, I'm just telling you, man. I think they are going to go receiver tonight. I think one of these picks are going to be receiver. It's just three things that have happened. One, like it feels like it's something that they've kind of looked at and they want to give as much firepower to this team as they can. And two, I was listening to Payne and Pendergast on Wednesday. They had John Harris on, and John Harris came out and he said, "Yeah, I just think maybe we should look at future things here. You know, they could go wide receiver here because Stephon Diggs is only a 1-year deal, and then there is a real possibility you could be without Diggs and Nico Collins next year. So they could draft a wide receiver for a future play." And that triggered in my mind because the day before, Mark Vandermeer joined us, and we were talking about the draft as well. And this is what he said, talking about where the Texans could go in the draft.
Let's say they take a receiver with the second pick in the second
Clint,
round.
Clint, calm down.
That they have.
Easy, Vandy,
I know. But we faced the very real prospect that heading into free agency next year, you don't have Stephon Diggs and you don't have Nico Collins, right? That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have them both. I don't know. Let's just talk about hypotheticals here for a moment.
Noah Brown, 1-year deal. Yep.
You might need to draft somebody just to develop them, and then maybe you can only re-sign one of those guys. Look, I'd love to see Nico here forever. To me, he's a beloved Texan already, and I love guys who have been here during the tough times, and then they have some good times, and look at the season he had. So I adore Nico Collins as a person and a player. But I'm just talking in real football terms here. You don't have him until you have him.
This is back-to-back days, Clint. Two guys connected to the Texans. Now, I'm not saying they know spitting off things that they were told, but they know how these guys think. They're connected with the Texans, coming out saying the same thing, giving the same reasoning. And then CJ last night said when the Florida receiver was drafted late in the first round, he said, "Oh, damn. Well, I think we'll still get a receiver anyway." He said that last night. That's three people.
I got it if you want to hear it, Sean.
Let me hear it. Oh, let the people hear it. CJ, he was the one that took me over the top when I heard this last night.
The Niners select.
Wow.
Oh. Your guy.
Well, we probably was going to get a receiver, but hey, shout out to Pearson.
That was the first reaction I've
seen. Right there. That's three people. CJ, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris.
Good detective work, bro. Not even going to lie.
That's not, I mean, that one, all right, you fooled me once. Now I got two or three. Clint, I'm just telling you, man, I think they're going to draft one of these receivers right here, and it's with one of these second-round picks.
Boy, let me tell you what.
He's chewing his gum so hard.
Let me tell you what.
Come on now. Come on, man.
If D'Amico Ryan.
Oh, he's going to.
And Nick Caserio draft a damn receiver with Newton on the board, any of those two or three top corners that are available right now on the board. Hey, man, them linebackers that could potentially be on the board. I know they just signed a 1-year deal with a kid out of Cleveland or whatever that was hurt last year, another linebacker on for some depth. They sign another receiver with all those being an issue. Hey, man, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with it.
We don't like that.
I don't care. I don't care who it is.
You don't care who it is.
No. You're talking about potentially the fifth, sixth, seventh best receiver.
Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, no, man, get out of here. But we got plenty of wide receivers. You got plenty of targets for that quarterback right now. There are positions of need as it pertains to
Keon Coleman.
No, man. I like I like Keon Coleman now. I like them big body wide receivers.
Someone texted. There are no worthy receivers at 42. Nah, they're going to be worthy receivers there.
Nah, man, that receiver can't be on the board. Receiver, quarterback, tackle cannot be on the board. I mean, those off. Look, if they took a guard center, I could probably get down with that. If they took a guard center, I could probably get down with that. But I cannot get down with the wide receiver at this point in time. Absolutely not. Look, there's any
Tyler, you're coming around, aren't you? You hear it, don't you, Tyler? You hear it, Tyler. That's three guys. These guys were pushing the same message back to back days.
I mean, offensive players are more exciting. Not gonna lie.
Okay, well that.
Yeah, man.
No, I'll take a skill player. Let's do it.
You got a need. You want to talk about future need? How about safety? You want to talk about future need? How about corner? You want to talk about future need? How about D-line?
Yeah, and receiver. Come on, receivers, man. In there too.
Nah, man. Nah, I'm not about future as in tomorrow. I'm not. I'm not talking about next year.
You've got immediate
needs right now. Again, if we're talking about, we're not talking about building a roster. We're not talking about building a 2D. We're talking about the ability to withstand a 17 game schedule, go through injuries, have quality players in depth, and be able to fill in holes. And hopefully, at least with one of these second round picks, you hit on a guy that by the end of the year is a impact player. Not at the wide receiver. There's not enough balls to go around for a wide receiver right now. Ain't no way.
No, there is a way.
I just checked the temperature.
I just checked the temperature. Two guys saying the same thing. I know they work together, but they're saying the same thing.
I'll bet on it.
No, don't do that.
I'll bet
and
on
they
it.
They say no.
Tyler, did you get that $100 I sent you?
I did. I appreciate it.
Okay. I'll bet on it. Anybody wants to give me some odds, I'll bet
you're
on
that
it.
How confident are you on this?
100%.
110%. 110%.
They'd be crazy to draft a wide receiver.
They wouldn't be crazy.
It'd be crazy
that seems like
to
a big
draft
number.
A wide receiver.
They wouldn't be crazy.
Absolutely nuts.
It wouldn't. It would make sense.
Okay.
It would make sense. Because right now, how many
would
guys?
It would make sense next year if you don't sign one of those two guys back.
But the reason why it would make sense is because the only guys that you have that are guaranteed after this year to be on your team, now I'm not saying you can't sign them, but guarantee that you know are going to be Tank Dell and John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson. Those are the only guys that are guaranteed. Someone text in. Here they go, back to back. Ron, you're making up things as usual. Second one, Ron, there's a reason Clint is on the radio and not in the draft room.
Yeah.
I love it when people vote.
Oh, my God.
He ain't wrong. He is not wrong. Or she, whoever said that, is not wrong.
I'm just saying. Hey, Tyler, Clint would be excited for Ladd. They went up there and got Ladd.
Sure he would.
He would.
What's the use of getting excited about? What are you going to get excited about? You're going to just watch him in training camp?
Watch him in training camp. Watch him become a real one of the four.
Watch Noah Brown play over the guy that you drafted.
Nah, they wouldn't. Brown would play over Ladd. He would play. He'd be the fourth.
You're crazy.
My man.
They tried to play everybody everybody and their son over Tank Dell last year for the first 2 weeks.
John Harris said if Ladd McConkey was there, he would take the card and run it up there. Pick his end immediately. That's Big John Harris.
Yeah, I don't like that. We're not, again, we took advantage of a light schedule last year, made a nice run, quarterback played great. We don't need to start operating like we're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sometimes a little future action.
Yeah, no, we ain't there. We had one decent little year.
A little future action. And you got two receivers.
We're not there.
Who are injury prone.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you this.
Nico and Tank.
It makes sense of this for me. You draft somebody this year in the second round. There ain't enough balls to go around.
By the way, if they do that, John Metchie, we know how they feel about John Metchie.
Well, I mean, Bob Woods got to go. John Metchie's got assed out. Xavier's gone. But here's the deal. If you draft a guy in the second round this year at the wide receiver position, and he don't.
You are really against
it. No, I'm just, let me paint this picture. Let's say he goes out there and catches 15, 20 balls this year. Best case scenario, because you got. I mean, between your top four guys, I'm counting Noah Brown, I'm talking Dalton Schultz. I mean, you ain't got enough balls to go around. Now, all of a sudden, if you don't have Nico Collins next year and you don't have Diggs next year, this guy's going to make you feel great.
Make you feel good.
Make you feel
great. In the system. You've seen him play.
That's
the deal.
He knows
the system. He knows CJ. Got him right there.
Because we're worried about Diggs and Nico being gone next year, we're going to draft a guy in the second round this year, not have enough balls to go around. He ain't going to do a damn thing in a Texans uniform.
Just don't
but
know
next
that.
Year at this point in time, boy, we are going to feel great about the wide receivers.
You don't
Come
know
on,
that.
Man.
You don't know that. Like Tank missed more than half the
Come
season
on,
last
man.
Year.
If Nico's playing well mid-year, you re-up and move on, man.
Which probably would happen. But as Mark Vandermeer said, you don't got him.
It's off the table.
Until you got him.
Wide receivers
off the
table.
It is completely not off the table.
It's off the table.
I'm sorry, man. It's just not. Someone text in $100 show. It's not. I don't know who that is. It's Ron.
$100 what?
I will keep an eye on that, Ronnie.
I'm guessing they're saying $100 that they won't draft a receiver. I'm telling you. We come back in here Monday. Actually, I'm gonna do the video.
Look, anything can happen.
Oh, now he's backing off, Tyler.
No, I'm not backing off.
Stand firm in it, dirty.
Everything I say with my chest. I say everything I say with my chest, even if I'm wrong. I'm saying it with my damn chest. Here's the deal. Anything can happen and anything can work out. I'm telling you right now, as we lead into the second round, it would be foolish. This team is not at a spot where you draft guys worrying about what next year looks like.
Will you please, Clint, will you please just promise me that if this does happen tonight, if Casario takes a receiver, will you please take an immediate reaction video and put it on Twitter?
Hell yeah.
Because that's going to be appointment viewing for me if it happens.
They got two of them, man. They got
Take
two
that
of them.
As a yes.
They got one where they can go immediate need, and one that can play with a little future. They got 2 second-round picks.
Y'all are kidding me. Y'all got to be kidding
me. I'm not kidding me. Not kidding you. John Harrison, kidding you. Mark Vandermeer, kidding you. C.J. Stroud, isn't kidding you.
Y'all got to be kidding me.
That lady over there walking, she's not kidding.
C.J., she is not with that get-up.
Okay,
C.J. Stroud is the only one that makes sense talking like, hell yeah, if I'm C.J. Stroud, I want as many weapons as I can get.
Piece of positivity.
All right, coming up, we'll continue to get you ready for the NFL draft. Last night, did you want the Texans to jump back in? And speaking of Nico Collins, we saw some moves that were made yesterday, 2 days in a row, actually, in the receiver market that may shed some light on the cost that may be with a Nico Collins if he has the kind of season that I think most are hoping he does. We'll continue that. Big 3 and 3 coming up next right here live on the drive.